everyone. This is Donald Trump, hopefully your favorite overweight scumbag waiting to be indicted. More corrupt than Grant, more corrupt than Nixon, certainly, with an important announcement for all my brain-dead, potty-trained, well-armed followers. I know I've been bilking you for cash for over 6 years now, but here's another reason to send Grandma's retirement account or your kids' college fund to me, Donald Trump. I'm doing my first release of my official Donald Trump NFT collection. It's amazing. We call it NFT because everything I'm going to tell you right now is not fucking true. They're called Trump Digital Trading Cards. These cards feature some of the finest digital artwork of some of the most crazed delusions I've had since I was 12. It's very exciting. It's just like baseball cards, if baseball cards were really bad drawings made by a delusional, narcissistic sociopath. There's one of me as a cowboy. One of me as an astronaut. I like that one. That's a good one. I love the astronaut. And one of me is a cross-dressing homicidal maniac who kills his father because he didn't love me enough. And here's the best part. You all go into a draw for some fantastic prizes. Dinner with me at Mar-a-Lago. A gift set of nuclear defense plans from NATO. And they're really nice. They're the nicest plans. They're the best plans I've ever seen in my life. And if you order by midnight tonight, these limited edition number 2 sculptures. These are striking examples of modern art. Are actually stool samples collected over the 4 years when I was crapping in the White House. Some look like round clouds of half-digested animal fat, and some actually look like real sculptures. They really do. They look like real sculptures. That one over there looks like Mount Rushmore, if Mount Rushmore was made of shit. Each comes with a signed certificate of authenticity from my proctologist, Murray Hamilton. He's a lovely man. My original Trump trading cards are only $99, which doesn't sound like a whole lot with all the shit you get. You got to go to collecttrumpcards.com and send me your cash. Send me mom's cash. Send me any cash that you might find, you know, lying around the trailer near the shotgun or a rundown retirement home if you live there. Check under the mattresses. You don't know what's in the sofa. Be part of my special community that's paying my legal team. You'll be glad you did. I love it. I really do.
I get those cards. God, I gotta have them. I have to have them. I know they'll go up in value immediately because they're digital.
They're just like my stock. They're gonna go through the roof. Trust me, they're gonna go through the roof, Randy. Through the roof.
I gotta have them, really.
Especially
the hand-drawn one of the cowboy. He was just so sweet.
When he's a cowboy and an astronaut. And it was like I just can't believe it. Anyway, that was like we did that like a month ago or something like that. And I saw the Bible thing, man. Did you see the Bible? What the hell, man? If there was any evidence that we actually do live in the Twilight Zone, it was when I saw Donald Trump going
the Bible.
I have so many Bibles in my house. It's my favorite book. What the hell?
Right next to all the Adolf Hitler books.
And the porn. And the porn. Yeah. Definitely the porn. Right next to the cocaine and the porn, a Bible.
But the thing is a $60 special edition Bible.
Yeah.
It is still the King James Version, so the most modern translation.
Oh.
The thing is how can he make that out to be any sort of like a unique...
But you can go into a hotel and get one for nothing.
Gideon's, yeah.
Really, seriously. Wow, Rick and I couldn't get a Bible even if I tried. What's that?
This one's special because when you hold it up, it's always right side up.
That's
never upside down. Like when he was outside that church.
Yeah, upside down. Whoopsie. Whoopsie. I like the fact that he's really taken...
What a fucktard.
No, he's not, because this is the ideal gift for the demographic that has the lowest IQ. Born again country music fans. I mean, listen, you're dealing with at least single digits here. You're going to... I reckon that's probably the best. Oh, man.
Can they read?
They'll be running out of their trailers getting a copy of this shit. This is like pitch. This is the opposite of like Trump steaks or Trump vodka or Trump hotels. This is pitched right down below, right to the lowest there, man. Yeah.
Oh,
what? Right down to, you got yourself a pretty mouth there.
Yeah. Oh, Bubba's going to have, Bubba will want a signed copy, won't he? Yeah.
Ming, 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 ming.
Oh, Tyrone,
I got my Trump Bible. Well, listen, man, it is another one in our series of weekly shows, ladies and gentlemen.
April Fools.
What?
April Fools.
It's April Fool's Day, yeah.
No, it's not. It's three days ago.
It's 3 days ago. Well, that explains why you just yelled it at the top of your lungs. Well,
I was trying to give some sort of reference for people.
Early in April. But listen, what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be going over some of the things that have gone on the last week in politics, ladies and gentlemen. And we've prepared our presentations quite well. And I'd say we go straight to the news. Let's go straight to the news, shall we?
Oh, let's go. Bill. Can I suggest?
Yes.
We go straight to the news. Straight to the news.
Well done, Randy. Thank you. And now, our Fix It and Post Orchestra, could I please have the news thing? News thing. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bill Show News, ladies and gentlemen. So it is, it has been an eventful time, I'll tell you. Something is happening, Randy, and I was watching the television, MSNBC, and I've been watching all the things that have been going on over there, and something is happening right now in the media, and I was reading a bit about it today, so I thought I'd share it with you. The gloves are off, Randy. The gloves are off, Randy. I watched the news broadcast, and this is what Trump did over the Easter weekend, because I was having fun with my family. You know, as you were, you know, we're kind of normal people and we hunt for Easter eggs. Not Donnie. Donnie sat during the entire Easter weekend tweeting 44 times, ladies and gentlemen, whining, crying, sharing articles that compared himself to Jesus Christ. This on top of threatening the daughter of the judge adjudicating your case for fraud. Hey. It's a busy holiday weekend for Donnie over at Mar-a-Lago. So why is he going around the bend more than usual? Because, I mean, I'm looking at him and I'm going, I've always said that you're nuts, but I think he's hanging on by a very thin goddamn thread.
Well, funny you should mention that, William. Can I just say?
Yeah, please.
There was a psychologist, Harry Siegel, of course it has to be a Siegel.
Yeah.
Who is a clinical psychologist and senior lecturer at the psychology department at one of the major universities.
Yeah.
Who has come out and said Trump's brain is getting worse.
Oh, wow.
And very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It's Cornell University Department of Psychiatry at Cornell Weill Medical School.
That's true, isn't he? He's slowly losing
around the twist. Yeah,
he's good. And I also know it, Randy, because you and I, we're normal people. We have a normal life and
fairly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Other than that, body's buried in my basement. But other than that, everything's normal.
You don't know. Yeah.
I am the freezer, but never mind. No. But we have a normal life. Sorry. But Trump literally sat during the Easter weekend. This is what he did on his Easter weekend, Randy. He sat during the entire Easter weekend tweeting 44 times. 44! He was whining. He was crying. He was sharing articles that compared himself to Jesus Christ. And this is on top of threatening the daughter of the judge adjudicating his case for fraud, which led me to believe, why is he going around the bend more than usual? And I was thinking this, could it be the recent polls? Yeah, those kind of suck. Yeah, because the last Mason poll that we had just the other day showed that Joe Biden is made up the ground in the Midwest since the thing. So it could be the polls. Could it be the bottoming out of his Truth Social stock? Or could it be that he's just an overweight, elderly, deluded psycho who is slowly losing what's left of his mind? I'm going with that. But it seems Uncle Joe Biden.
I would too. Yeah,
I think this is unanimous. My dog thinks that too. It seems that Uncle Joe Biden and his top campaign aide, Mike Donilon, have designed what could be the newest and best strategy to defeat Trump. Fuck with his head. Biden has climbed off his presidential perch and has started calling Donnie fat, incompetent, and other personal jabs. The gloves are off.
Fat shaming, fat, fat.
He's fat. You're fat. Fatty, fat, fat.
Fatty, fat, fat, fat.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. along with the new series of ads thrown up by the Lincoln Foundation. Now, I really wanted to share these with you, Randy, because this, first of all, as I've always said, if you want to get a really nasty attack ad that goes for the testicles, get a Republican, because they know how to do them the best. No, yeah, they do. And this is the Lincoln Project, which, of course, are those, you know, irate Republicans that are evidently our friends now. Never mind the fact
I know. They're some of the best stuff is coming out of the Lincoln
Project. It is, but evidently they're our friends now. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them, but I'm happy to have them. But here's this ad, though, is great because it is actually – it's an ad that only has an audience – and that audience is only one person, and that person is Donald J. Trump. Have a listen to this. It's ingenious.
Hey, Donald, we noticed something. More and more people are saying it. You're weak. You seem unsteady. You need help getting around. And wow.
An anomalous, really an anomalous country, and you deserve.
Are you sure you don't have dementia?
It runs in the family.
Have you had a real doctor check you out? You keep confusing things.
And we did with Obama. We won an election.
Getting the facts wrong.
We just left pleasure. Paradise.
People laugh about it, about you.
Bob, bing, bing.
Even your own people behind your back. You're winning the primary, but losing your power, your strength, your manhood. Face it, Donald. You're just projecting when you call Joe Biden old. He's stronger than you, fitter than you, smarter than you. A better man and a better president. Anyone can see it. And when you lay there at night, alone, you know we're right. You're falling apart, Donald. Breaking down right in front of our eyes.
God bless the United States.
Your daddy hates you. You were never that good. You don't have a large penis. It is really a mindfuck. That ad is incredible mindfuck. It's just like Jiminy Cricket telling him everything that's wrong. That's really sad, isn't it?
I've seen other ads that show his father saying, "I bailed you out of everything. You are terrible. You everything." It's one of the Jabari Jones ads. It's so hurtful.
Don, I feel sorry. Really, I mean, seriously, there are two people you can gleefully enjoy watching suffer: Nazis and Trump. They're almost the same thing.
Right,
Nazis and Trump. I don't have a problem watching Trump suffer. I want to see him suffer a lot. Oh my God, you have no idea how much I want to see this piece of shit go down blazing. And Trump will say that on the campaign trail. They want me to. Yeah, we do. You're disgusting.
Why are you laughing at me? Stop laughing at me.
You're an evil, foul, disgusting person. who
is laughing at
terrible.
Me.
Anyway, another person has come down, figured that out, has figured out that yes, it is time to fuck with Donnie. And according to Politico, Randy, the Biden campaign is devoted to disposing of the we go high, they go low bullshit and have decided to get personal with Trump. President Joe Biden has a reputation for salty language. This is from Politico, behind closed doors, but it nearly slipped out in a public speech in Valley Forge last month to mark the third anniversary of January 6th insurrection. Animated and angry, he derided Donald Trump and his followers for drawing glee from political violence. At his rally, he jokes about an intruder whipped up by the big Trump lie, taking a hammer to Paul Pelosi's skull. He thinks that's funny. He laughed about it. What a sick. And by the word he was going to use is fuck.
Fuck.
Biden let his voice trail off as the crowd cheered and chuckled. In private, he don't stop. The president has described Trump to his longtime friends and close aides as a sick fuck. Yes. Yes, who delights in others' misfortune, according to three people who have heard the president use the profane description. According to one of the people who has spoken with the president, Biden recently said, Trump, what a fucking asshole that guy is. You know, tell something, as a public service, we here at The Bill Show want you to know, Joe, it's so much more fun when you truly loathe the person you hate. When you have to, the person that you're fighting is something and represents something you totally loathe. It adds the spice to life. And we here at The Bill Show have dug up this lovely piece by Rufus Wainwright, which highlights all the nicknames Jimmy Kimmel had for Trump when he was finally defeated 4 years ago. So let's get some mileage out of these names and use them as much much as possible. And with any luck, Donnie will be tipped over the edge into the orange straitjacket he's earned so well. Randy, Rufus Wainwright doing the Jimmy Kimmel Trump nickname song. Ladies and gentlemen, grab a nickname and use it whenever you think you have to. Here it is.
Let's raise a glass, my friend. America is great again. To celebrate the last 4 years, the laughs we've had and many tears, we send off number 45 with names he was called on, Jimmy Kimmel. Trumpelstiltskin, Troopaloompa, Donnie Boo Boo, Cheeto Chief, Pumpkin McPorn Humper, Unhappy Gilmore, and Commander in Beef, Mar-a-Lado, Donnie Bonespurs, Ludacris, El Crappy Tan, Grandma's Grandpa, Orange Hulk, Harry Poppins, King Tutankhamun, Man, Abraham Lincoln, Duchelini, Typho Donnie, and Flabio, the Tangerine Twitter Machine, the Hydroxy Horror Picture Show, Orange Julius Caesar, Freddy Krueger, the Tandalorian, Dingus Khan, Putin's Pee Pee Pal, Liger Woods, Regeneron, Lightning Round. Grandpa, prisoner-elect, the lock-her-up nest monster, hungry, hungry hypocrite. Thank God we're finally done with this.
Rufus Wainwright, ladies and gentlemen, and
that was great.
I thought that was a tacky and good reason to bring something into the show that I had not heard. I just liked it.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Fatty Lapone.
Fatty Lapone. You're fat, Donald. You're fat.
He's fat and stupid.
I'll tell you, man. I got the next story here, and ladies and gentlemen, this happened last week too. Former President, I'll talk to you, Randy. Former President Donald Trump's fledgling media business is losing its sheen among investors a week after going public, with a sharp reversal in the company's stock price, lopping $4 billion off its value. The plunge in Trump Media and Technology Group shares, which debuted on the NASDAQ Composite Index. I can't believe people are buying shares in anything this guy's selling. While he was selling...
This is Truth Social, right? His version of Twitter.
His version of Twitter. Under the basically he debuted on the NASDAQ Composite Index on the 25th of March under the ticker DJT. The company, you know, it's my very own stock. The company also noted that its accountant had issued a warning that its losses raised substantial doubt about its ability to continue as a going concern. You know, just like Trump. Yeah, man.
How did it make any money?
Trump Steaks, Trump University, Trump Airlines.
Trump Tweet.
Well, the only people my figure is that, Randy, the only people buying those stocks are Russian oligarchs floating a loan directly from Russia to Donnie by buying his stock as quid pro quo for skull-fucking the Ukrainians in Congress. Maybe I happen to be suspicious, but I'm thinking that's happening. Yet certain Trump enthusiasts are quite bullish on the stock, Randy. We chatted with Floyd B. Hammerhead from the investment firm of We Fleece Him and How, who touted the stock as a real winner. And Trump stock is a real sleeper stock, damn, Bill. I mean, right now it's kind of in a coma, like it was a victim in a boating accident. But trust me, Trump stock is just lulling the market into a false sense of security, slowly sneaking up behind the market like a ninja hiding behind the trees, wearing women's clothing and a William Shatner fright mask, hiding its real identity, and then it's going to pounce. When asked what other stocks and investments he would recommend to his clients, the ardent Trump supporter gave some hot tips. Lint is due to rise. You should also invest in mucus, typewriter ribbons, and that blue liquid barbers use to clean combs. Real growth potential there. Okay, that was just a little comedy for me. I'm gonna have a glass of water. I had to do a character there, Randy. And
it's terrific.
Damn it.
Yeah. But what is it? He still sends tweets, but it's not called Twitter anymore. He sends X's.
No, he X's. Well, ever since that, you know, that lame ass took over Twitter. You know, that guy, you know,
and let him back in. Elon Musk, Elon
Musk, what a pain in the ass that guy is. Well, listen, I just have one more story for my half of the show. And then we're going to take you guys are going to get a well-deserved break. But this is something I was reading up on, Randy, that I really think the folks at home and you should know.
I'm a folk at home. Yeah. Anyway.
After the attempt by Donald Trump to overthrow the United States government on January 6th, I have a little something in my mouth. There you go. Republicans condemned the attempted coup, and multinational corporations pledged to withdraw corporate donations to election deniers who, in effect, supported the authoritarian overthrow of the United States government. And you know something, Randy?
Yeah.
I thank God for the steady, unwavering support of these corporations as they continue to show their support toward representative government and the defeat of fascism in America. I really want to Nah, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Nah, that's bullshit. If you're thinking that maybe these multinational corporations scurried back to giving to the same election deniers they had already given to right after they pledged they wouldn't, you'd be right. Proving that business is business, and even in Nazi Germany, there was money to be made, no matter how corrupt the country is. Someone has to, make Zyklon B and keep the ovens in good repair. You're going to have a fascist state. I mean, look at the big money Coca-Cola and Ford Motor Company and IBM made when Hitler was preparing to make Mrs. Goldstein and Rabbi Finkelman into bath soap in the 30s. Hey, remember that? Come on, there is money to be made in an authoritarian state, Randy. Everything. It is, absolutely. Ask anybody, even Chile. They'll tell you. Well, everything old is new again, because Trump and his supporters would be nothing without the sweet dollars funneled to them by companies that don't give a shit about destroying the democracy and welcoming an authoritarian state. And you know, the first rule of capitalism is go with the flow. Should he lose again, Trump warned ominously of bedlam in the country and the opening of Pandora's box.
Bloodbath.
Yeah, it was going to be bloodbath. Asked by a reporter if he would rule out violence by his supporters, Trump simply walked away. At a campaign event earlier this month, Trump said there would be a bloodbath in the country if Biden wins, but insisted he was only talking about the domestic electric vehicle industry. Despite all this, Trump has the near unanimous support of the Republican Party. But get this, according to a new investigation by Popular Information, using state and federal campaign finances databases, found that 50 prominent companies and corporations have donated. And can I have a little drum roll right here, Sonny? Yeah.
Yeah.
They've donated, ladies and gentlemen, $23,273,400 to the campaigns and political committees of election deniers who were in favor of the overthrow of the United States government. Some of the largest contributors to election deniers are also some of the country's leading companies. They include AT&T, Comcast, Walmart, and Microsoft. And that's why, don't go away, it's time to play Meet the Fascists. That's the dating game soundtrack, by the way, I have in the back. It's a little game show we got. It's called Meet the Fascists, ladies and gentlemen, okay?
Is it like Hollywood Squares? Only
contestants and meet the fascists.
Form of a swastika? Yeah.
They had the Auschwitz Hilton. Okay, after January 6th, our first contestant, ladies and gentlemen, he likes long walks down the beach and, communications. That's right. We're talking about AT&T. They released a statement last year saying employees on our federal PAC board convened a call today and decided to suspend contributions to members of Congress who voted to object to the certification of the Electoral College. Wow, that was a good thing that they said. That pledge lasted exactly 1 month. AT&T resumed donating to political committees supporting Republican objectors in February of the same year. So in January, they said, oh, absolutely not. February came around. Ah, what the hell? Yeah. Those donations increased by September 2021. By January 2022, AT&T fully broke their pledge and resumed donations to individual Republican objectors. From January 6, 2021 to the present, AT&T alone has donated $1,234,100 to 109 election deniers at the federal level and 11 election deniers at the state level. Oh, jeez. I don't think that if the new fascist state wants to tap phones, I don't think they're going to have a problem with AT&T.
Not at all, no.
Nah, I think they're going to get away with that fine. Next off, our next contestant in who wants to support a fascist state, the good people at Microsoft, ladies and gentlemen. Since January 6, 2021, Microsoft has donated $112,500 to 27 election deniers on the federal level and 2 election deniers on the state level. Hey, good effort. Microsoft's recent donations, however, include multiple election deniers who continue to question the validity of the 2020 election results. On June 30th, Microsoft gave $3,000 to represent Brian Donalds, a Republican of Florida. At an Axios event last month, Donalds maintained that states did not file election laws in 2020. Donalds said that if he became vice president, he would consider not certifying no election results. Good.
Jesus.
And let's go forth. What's our next contestant of corporate sellouts of democracy? Comcast! Ladies and gentlemen, yes, that's right. Comcast, the lovely multinational corporation that owns MSNBC. That's right. They're giving to election deniers. This includes $5,000 to Representative Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan. Guy who never saw us. He can't wear a coat. He's got to be in the house. Got to be. I'll tell you. Jim Jordan, who is a slug. Republican from Ohio, the January 6th committee found that Jordan was a significant player in Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. According to the committee's report, Jordan participated in numerous post-election meetings where they discussed strategies for, I don't know, overthrowing the government. But that was all right, because Comcast, the owners of MSNBC, gave him $5,000. Comcast also donated $2,500 to the Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, a Republican. And in March 2022, Marshall refused to call President Joe Biden the duly elected, lawfully serving president of the country.
What did he call him?
I don't know. Fred? I don't know. He just wouldn't
call him anything. Just not late for dinner, yeah.
The cherry on the sundae was when the MSNBC, owned by Comcast, tried to get former GOP head Rona McDaniel as an on-air commentator, even though she took active participation in sending fake electors from Michigan and co-conspired with Trump to disenfranchise voters in Michigan. And evidently, that was just too much for Rachel Maddow to stomach. So that meant to an on-air revolution against...
Really?
Yes, an on-air revolution.
So they wouldn't work with her.
They wouldn't work with her, which is, I says a lot for those guys. A lot of times I'm not crazy about MSNBC, but at least they did something, because that was just that hideous. So Roma McDaniel being foisted on MSNBC by corporates who just don't give a shit. Our last contestant, folks, is the lovely people over at Walmart. Walmart have donated $384,000 to 82 federal election deniers and 7 election deniers on the state level. Also donated $15,000 to House Majority Leader Steve Scalise's fund. He's from a Republican from Louisiana. Scalise in November 2023 repeatedly did not answer whether or not the 2020 election was not stolen in an interview with ABC News. I'll give you some of the list, folks. These are the companies that you're in. Coke Industries, number one, AT&T, UPS, Lockheed Martin, Home Depot, Charter Communications, boycott these guys, Boeing, Comcast, General really? Dynamics... Yeah, really. Honeywell, Valero Energy, RTX Corporation, UBS, Northrop Grumman, Marathon Petroleum, Regional Financial, FedEx, the Williams Companies, PricewaterhouseCoopers, United Health, Union Pacific, General Atomics, Walmart, Elevance Health, Deloitte, Delta Airlines. Great. Cox Enterprises, Toyota, General Motors, Verizon, Chevron, Leidos, Cigna, BNSF Railway, Aflac, that cute little duck, NextEra Energy, ExxonMobil, Wells Fargo, Ernst & Young, Pfizer, T-Mobile, American Airlines, Johnson & Johnson, Anheuser-Busch, Blue Origin, Amazon, Intel, and Microsoft. You know, if you lose your democracy, here's the thing. They don't give a fuck. They'll work with whoever's
there.
That's
nearly everybody. That's nearly everybody. It can't, it's an amazing thing.
These are all the guys that promised not to give to authoritarian dictators who would overthrow and strip you of your rights. But every one of these 50 multinational corporations did it anyway.
Still did it. Yeah, go. That's really creepy.
Just remember, fascists have to get their money from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of money going toward the Heritage Foundation.
The good Germans. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Trump is a cult leader. But if tomorrow Trump went away, these fuckers will never go away. And they're okay with fascism. They're okay with it. You work with who's there.
Yeah.
So anyway, there is just one other clip that I have for you today. And this is, I hope you enjoy this. Minnesota Republican opposes gun safety bill because of murderous cows.
Oh, of course.
A Minnesota Republican state senator had an amusing. Thank you.
You're going to milk that. You're going to milk that, aren't you, Bill? You're going to milk that.
It's the only gag here that works. But completely unhinged reason to oppose the proposal for safe storage requirements for guns. People might need to shoot cows. Senator Warren Limmer made the bizarre argument on Friday during a committee meeting on a bill that would require firearms to be stored either unloaded or disabled with a locking device or in a locked storage unit. Current state law merely requires that guns be stored somewhere a child cannot reach them. But Limmer had something to say. Farm animals at times can be very dangerous. Take, for example, your average cow, who has just recently had a calf. You even walk too close to a cow to take you down and trample you to dust. Many farmers have a readily available gun just for those emergencies. Fumbling around with a lock while a cow or bull or any other animal is going after your daughter or son.
Oh, God.
What is it? It sounds like the cow had some plotting time. And there's two cows sitting there. You take the kid. You take the boy. I'll take the girl. Going after your daughter or son, raping your white women. No, sorry, wrong one. Going after your daughter or your son, you can't fumble around with a key or try to find a lockbox or put your thumb on some biometric key of some sort in your home while there's danger outside. A study published in January in the Journal of Forensic Science, Medicine, and Pathology found that only about 20 to 22 deaths are caused by cattle per year. Evidently, cattle are kind of like, standing around a lot. They're not that excitable.
Very moving.
Like large horses on morphine. And by the way, 22 deaths for the entire thing. So, and that includes cows reacting to deliberate provocation, goading, intended to incite aggressive behavior, public entertainment purposes. What kind of person goes and teases a cow for fun?
A bullfighter?
Yeah, well, I fucking hate bullfighting.
Well, regardless of what your feelings are, that they do that for entertainment.
Oh. God, those Spanish people.
Not in Minnesota.
Maybe they do it in Minnesota. There's some Spanish people in Minnesota.
No, in Spain, yeah.
I don't know. Well, listen, just so that I can feed into this guy's paranoia, we're going to go to our break, ladies and gentlemen. I happen to have found a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song just for this Minnesota Republican, Senator Warren Limmer. This song's for you, and it's called Cows with Guns. We'll be back with Randy's rant in just a moment.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be ate at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, Nobody knew, no one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He moved, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cow well hung. Knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darkening in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die.
Gentlemen, it's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time once again for Randy's Rant.
Anyway, now it's my turn.
Go for it, Randy.
I want to talk about probably the greatest threat to American democracy.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is an enabler. He's not the only reason that this is a threat to democracy, but we're talking about religious nationalism.
Yep.
Now, religious nationalism has been going on for over 100 years, and it really has decided to become organized from the middle century with Ronald Reagan. The evangelicals were the reason that George W. Bush was elected the second time.
Yep.
Sure. In his who did he run against in the second time?
Kerry. John Kerry.
Yeah, John Kerry. It was swayed by these guys who are basically religious nationalists. Now, I'd like, two films have come out in January, February.
Yep.
One is called Bad Faith.
Yeah.
Feature length documentary, which is actually endorsed by Ken Burns. Documentary fame. And another is called God and Country. Now, these, I'm going to play the trailers for these, but they are scary enough.
Okay.
I don't want to play anymore, but I will talk about the movement of economic nationalism, religious nationalism, and how it is carrying America. Now, Bill, just play the first track.
Sure enough.
The trailer for a film called Bad Faith.
Bad Faith on Randy's Rant. for show 314.
Everything can be reduced to right and wrong. Make no mistake about it. We are talking about Christianizing America.
That which God has given us, we will allow no one to take away.
The Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade.
We will make America great again.
It's time for us people to come out of the churches.
Christian nationalism uses religion to justify all kinds of evil.
Christian nationalism has been a political tool for centuries.
It has nothing to do with Christianity. It's about power and politics.
The goal is to enshrine Christian identity as the law of the land.
To reclaim the United States for God.
You can't take over society unless you take over the seven pillars. And they've gone one by one to do it.
We want total war.
We are the Christian Taliban. We need to force the people to believe what we believe.
When government is in the hands of godly men, it is good. But in the hands of all others, it is evil.
Now, the narrator there talks about they've taken over the seven pillars, and now they're ready to pounce. Now, those seven pillars I've looked up are family, religion, entertainment, media, education, business, and government.
Yes.
Now, all of those are being influenced now by religious nationalists.
Yes.
And they are saying that the Ten Commandments should be there instead of the Ten Amendments and things like that. You know, really wacko stuff.
Well, yeah, they've been around.
I don't want to denigrate Christianity or people that believe in Christianity. But to say that we have to change our form of government to accommodate the laws of the Bible, and they've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah.
Michelle Bachmann was one of the worst.
Oh, God, yes.
And it's been going on and on since Ronald Reagan. And I think we have to be aware of this, that we are now being moved in the direction of The Handmaid's Tale.
Well, I always keep something kind of handy, Randy, and I'm going to quote for you something that I just happen to have sitting here on the notes, because Christian nationalism is a problem. And in 1802, the idea that the founding fathers wanted to have a Christian state. They did not want to have from a Christian state. They were running from a Christian state. They were running from religious persecution. And this is these are the words of Thomas Jefferson in a letter that he wrote in 1802, addressed to the Danbury Baptist Association in Connecticut. It was published in a Massachusetts newspaper, and this is what he said. "Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between a man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence the act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." What these people talk about, Randy, is absolutely un-American. Totally un-American. Oh,
and Jefferson went on to use the term separation of church and state in that letter. It's not – everybody thinks that that's somehow enshrined in one of the amendments.
Building a wall.
It's actually –
You do know it. Thus building a wall of separation.
In that letter.
Hey, yep, yeah. that was the letter. And
they use that against people that say you have no legislation that says that church and state can be combined. That was simply a letter written by Thomas Jefferson. So they're actually turning the tables on that letter, these Christian nationalists.
Well, anyway, it is interesting that when Christian theology is unified with politics, you get fascism.
It is.
That's what you get, you know.
Hitler used fascism.
Oh, yes.
The Pope was involved. One of the popes was involved. The Lutheran Church.
the evangelical Christian church in Germany, all these guys went along for the ride. All of these guys went along for the ride, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, they wanted the final solution as well.
Yeah, they, you know, the Pope Pius knew about the final solution a long time ago. Everybody kept quiet. Everybody. Yeah. And when you see something like these suckers, man, these Christian Nazis, they're Nazis. They're fucking Nazis.
And look, we're still using Bayer aspirin, aren't we?
Yes.
And they made Zyklon B.
Yep.
So we didn't boycott them.
No.
We used methadone, even though that was developed by the Nazis in the death camps.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. I said
Adolfium,
Business marches on.
Yeah, money talks and bullshit money talks. Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
Now, this next feature documentary, God Plus Country, it's actually the plus symbol, is another of these Christian nationalist films that have come out within a month of each other. And like I say, Ken Burns endorsed the first one. Have a play of this trailer, and I find it even more chilling.
Okay, this is God and Country, the official trailer.
America and Christianity are like baseball and apple pie, and we celebrate them together.
I was 16, 17 years old when I became a Christian.
I'm an evangelical minister.
I've been a Christian my whole life.
I'm a Christian nationalist. I have nothing to be ashamed of because that's what most Americans are.
Is Christian nationalism Christian?
No, it isn't.
We should be blazing forth as a countercultural example, and instead, we're leading the charge of malice and division.
Christian nationalism uses Christianity as a means to an end, that end being some form of authoritarianism.
Being a Christian is about the values of inclusion. Christian nationalism is certainly not based on the values of the gospel.
God wants America to be saved.
They're told over and over and over again that you're in danger.
You need to fight if you don't want to lose your country.
We are in a civil war between good and evil.
This is not a movement about Christian values. This is about Christian power.
What happens to the people who don't believe this stuff?
We are on the precipice.
God is on our side.
We're taking our nation back.
The thing that keeps me up at night is that we lose democracy.
Does that seem possible?
Yes.
Christianity at its best is committed to love and truth and justice. If we do this right, what a country we will be.
Now, America, the Christian nationalists like to say that 79% of Americans are Christian based on the 2001 census. However, that was just because the question had to be answered in one way or another. In actual fact, really less than 50% of Americans are serious Christians, meaning they are more than just Sunday Christians. Mow the lawn, go to church, mow the lawn. I've done my duty. So I really am worried about that. The other 45% of Americans who are not practicing Christians.
Well,
what happens to them?
I can tell you what happens to them. And all you have to do is look at history. What do you think happens to them? What do you think happens to any oppressed minority? I mean, look around the world. If you're looking at the Shiites and the Sunnis in the Mideast, the Catholics.
I can't believe the Shiites and the Sunnis are still fighting after all these centuries.
But
because they're both worshiping the same person, but the Shiites have a slightly reworded thing that they follow. Crazy. It's like Protestants and Catholics.
But in America, religion is being used. It is being used by people. I mean, nine-tenths of these guys, man. Nine-tenths of these hucksters who are religious, Bible thumpers. They don't believe shit.
No.
Con men.
Donald Trump is a godly man. Trump is a godly man.
But they know that the use of Christian nationalism, about that fanaticism that comes from a religion, is very useful if you're building a fascist or authoritarian state.
They're on their way.
Yeah. It's scary as hell. Boy,
see those documentaries while you still can.
Absolutely.
Because they will be taken down.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
It is terrifying to watch this in from overseas. It's just terrifying to watch. So listen, what I get to do next week, Randy, is that I get to talk directly to our good friends Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Oh, you really?
We're going to do a cross with Driftglass and Blue Gal next week so I can find out, you know, they can calm me down a bit, you know, because I have a tendency to get really upset. And they'll sit there and go, no, worry about it. It's all right. There's corn. And they live near Chicago,
don't they? So they've
They live off of they're literally adjacent to a cornfield.
With baseball players in it.
Yeah, with baseball players. If you build it, they will come. That's them.
Build it, they will come. Yeah,
that's right. So you know, and they are even closer to the action than we are. So I'm calling up the pulse of the nation. Calling up Springfield, Illinois, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, so, is this during our show?
We're going to be doing a cross. I'm going to do a cross with them and do an individual show with them, as I always do, which is kind of just about as much room as we have.
I can't be there mispronouncing their names and things.
No, that's right. That's right. You burned that invite a long time ago. Anyway.
Oh, Willie.
Well, listen, we have had a great time, and these are our weekly shows. We're going to be with you all the way to the election. We hope you do enjoy us.
Yeah.
And all
the way to the election.
All the way to the election, damn it. I will not be turned. Yeah. I will not be denied, damn it.
Well, you might get that knock on the door, Willie. You never know.
Oh, I don't know. But I'm praying that come November, we can all have a very, very good day where that guy is not around, you know. Anyway,
well, I reckon if the guy on the David Pakman show who said his mental stability is going down quickly, I hope he's right.
I hope he's right too. Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in to us once again. That does 314. We'll see you again for 315 next week.
Love you all. Love you all.
Take care, Randy. Bye bye.
See you, Willie. Bye.
Good night, until we meet again. Adios, au revoir, I'll be the same till then. And though it's always sweet sorrow to part,
you know you'll always remain in my heart.
Good night, sleep tight, and pleasant dreams to you. Here's a wish and a prayer that every dream comes true. And now till we meet again, adios, au revoir, I'll be the same. Good night.